Hello, I'm author Carnigaldin. Welcome to the next instalment of Wolf of the Plains.
The sun was high in the sky, and the boys were all tired by the time they sighted the great rock the tribes called the Red Hill, an immense boulder hundreds of feet high, surrounded by a dozen others of lesser size. Temujin was a speck behind the other four, but even from a distance he could hear Bector and Temujin arguing. The four brothers stared at Temujin as he ambled closer.
"I could carry him faster than that," Temujin said.
Only when they had arrived had it occurred to them that someone had to stay with the ponies. Bector had told Kachun to stay, but the boy was a better climber than the other three and refused. They had all nominated one of the others, and Kassar and Kachun had come to blows. Bector had cuffed them apart with a curse. Waiting for Temujin to get there was the only sensible solution, and in truth, more than one of them had taken a good look at the sheer face of the Red Hill and had second thoughts about racing his brothers up it. Temujin felt his stomach begin to ache. With a hard climb ahead, he didn't want to risk becoming weak. He picked up a handful of reddish dust and made it into a paste with a dribble of water. Whitefoot bared his teeth and whinnied, but did not resist as Temujin tied his reins to a bush and drew his knife. It was the work of a moment to nick a vein in the pony's shoulder and clamp his mouth to it. The blood was hot and thin, and Temujin felt it restore his energy and warm his empty belly. He counted 6 mouthfuls before he took his lips away and pressed a bloody finger over the wound. The paste of dust and water helped the clotting, and he knew there would be just a small scab by the time he returned. He grinned, showing red teeth to his brothers as the pony resumed cropping the spring grass. Seeing Temujin feed himself, Bector knelt and directed a thin trail of warm milk into his mouth from his mare's teat, smacking his lips in noisy appreciation. Kassar and Kachun knew from experience that if they asked, they would be refused. But if they ignored their thirst, Bector might condescend to allow a warm mouthful to each boy.
"Drink, Kassar," Bector said, raising his head sharply.
Kassar ducked his head like a foal to where Bector held the dark teat shining with milk. Kassar sucked greedily at the spray before Bector beckoned Kachun over. Temujin clambered down from his pony with his usual caution. For a boy of only 6 summers, it was a long way to the ground, though other children in the tribe would leap from the saddle with all the fearlessness of their older brethren.
"This is the place?" Temujin asked.
Temujin nodded.
"I saw an eagle circling here."
He squinted upwards. Kachun strode past them, pulling at the waistcloth that held his padded deal in place. He let the coat fall, revealing just a bare-armed tunic and linen leggings as he took his first handholds on the rocks. The others stripped down as he had, seeing the sense in leaving the heaviest cloth on the ground. In a few moments, Temujin was alone again. With a last look at his more energetic brothers, he strolled over to steal a stomachful of milk from Bector's mare. After 100 feet, Temujin knew he was high enough for the fall to kill him. He listened over his panting breath for his brothers, but there was no sound or sight of them. The air seemed colder, but the sun was hard on the back of his neck, and Temujin blinked against the sting of sweat hanging from his hands as his feet scrabbled for a new place to rest. Baring his teeth, he pulled himself higher. The wind grew in force, tugging at him. A gust made his stomach drop, with a sudden feeling that he would be plucked from the high rock. His fear began to make him angry. He would not be afraid. He was a son of Yesuge, a wolf. He would be Khan one day. He would not be afraid, and he would not fall. His fingers were shaking now with each new grip, but he took strength from his anger and went on. It was hard to guess how far he had come. But Temujin and the ponies were only specks below, and his arms and legs burned with effort. He came to a ridge where he could stand out of the wind. Gasping, he rested his aching muscles.
"Are you stuck?"
he heard above him. Temujin swore as he saw Kachun's face peering over the ledge with a smile. Temujin grasped a handhold. With Kachun looking on, he controlled his breathing and showed the cold face of the warrior. He had to jump to reach a second grip, and for a moment, fear overwhelmed him. With the wind moaning around the crags, Temujin did not dare think of the emptiness at his back. He shoved himself up by sheer strength and energy. To stop moving was to begin to fall, and Temujin roared as he made it to where Kachiyun was kneeling, calmly watching his progress.
Ha! Khans of the mountain do not get stuck, he told Kachiyun, triumphantly.
His brother digested this in silence. The hill breaks apart just above us, he said. Bector has taken the south col to the peak.
Temujin was impressed at his brother's calm. Bector does not know where the eagles are.
Kachiyun shrugged.
He took the easier path. I don't think an eagle would build a nest where it could be so easily reached.
There's another way, then? Temujin asked. The northern peak that loomed above Temujin and Kachiyun was a spike of rock even more daunting than the sheer slope they had climbed.
Are you ready? Kachiyun asked.
Temujin saw that his serious little brother had lost a fingernail from his right hand. There was a crust of blood running along his forearm, but the boy showed no sign of his discomfort.
I'm ready, Temujin said.
He and Kachiyun began to climb. It was a fraction easier with two of them working together. More than once, Temujin used his strength to support Kachiyun's foot as the boy swarmed up the face like a spider. He climbed as well as he rode, but his young body was showing signs of exhaustion as they put another 100 feet behind them. Both boys were panting as Temujin saw that the sun had begun its trail towards the west. They could not be caught on the face in the dark, or they would fall. More worrying was a ridge of cloud in the distance. A summer storm would tear them all off the red hill, and he feared for his brothers as Kachiyun slipped and almost took them both to their deaths.
I have you! Find another hold,
Temujin grunted, his breath coming like fire. He could not remember being so tired, and still the summit seemed impossibly far. Kachiyun managed to take his weight off Temujin's arm, looking back for a moment at the bleeding scuff marks his boot had left on Temujin's skin. Kachiyun followed his brother's gaze out over the plains and stiffened as he saw the clouds.
Keep moving. If it starts to rain, we're dead, Temujin growled, pushing his brother upwards.
Neither boy understood at first what the high-pitched sounds meant. They had never heard the cries of young eagles, and the wind was a constant companion. The clouds had spread to fill the sky, and Temujin was more concerned about finding a place for shelter. As the two boys dragged themselves up to a cleft stuffed with twigs and feathers, Temujin could smell rotting meat. At last, as his eyes came level with the nest, he realized that the whistling sound was from a pair of young eagles that were watching the climbers with feral interest. Their wings were stubby and ugly-looking, though both boys thought they had never seen anything quite so beautiful. The claws seemed too large for the young birds, great yellow toes ending in darker spikes that looked already capable of tearing flesh. Kachiyun had frozen in wonder on the ledge, hanging from his fingertips. One of the birds hissed at him, spreading its wings in a show of courage that made Kachiyun beam in pleasure.
They are little Khans, he said, his eyes shining.
Temujin nodded, unable to speak. He scanned the horizon as Kachiyun drew himself up into a crouch on the very edge of the nest.
The clouds are too close for us to get down now, Temujin warned. We can take them in the morning.
As he spoke, a rumble of thunder growled across the plains. The sun was still bright over them, but in the distance they could see rain sheeting down in twisting dark threads. The storm battered the red hill for all the hours of darkness, clearing only as dawn came. The sun shone strongly once more from an achingly clear sky as the sons of Yesuge emerged from a cleft in the rocks. They had spent the night in shivering wet misery. Now they were yawning and stiff. But as soon as there was light enough to see, Temujin scrambled up to collect the young eagles. He almost lost his grip as the dark shape swept in, an adult eagle that seemed as large as he was, a bird that could break the back of a dog with a single strike. It was terrifying and wondrous to stare into the black eyes of the eagle as it raged at the trespassers, hanging on outstretched wings. At his shoulder, Kachiyun clung to the sloping red rock. Temujin saw him prise out a loose stone. His brother yelled, and the stone thumped into the eagle, knocking it off its strike. It screamed in rage, scrabbling at the ledge for balance. Temujin could do nothing but try to protect his face and neck from the lunging claws. He heard it screech in his ear, and felt the huge wings beat against him before the bird fell, calling in anger all the way. The boys saw their father's warriors long before they were in sight of the Gairs of the tribe. Unconsciously, they rode closer together as they recognized Eluk galloping towards them.
"Your father sent us out to find you," Eluk said, addressing Becta.
Temujin bristled automatically.
"We've spent nights out before."
Eluk turned his small black eyes on him.
"Not without warning, not in a storm, and not with your mother giving birth," he said sharply, as if to scold a child.
Temujin saw Becta was flushing with shame and refused to let the emotion trouble him.
"You found us, then. If our father is angry, that is between him and us."
Eluk shook his head, and there was malice in his voice.
"Your mother almost lost the child through worrying about you."
His eyes demanded Temujin lower his gaze, but instead the boy felt anger building. He knew his father would forgive them anything once he saw the eagles. Temujin raised a hand to stop the others, and even Becta reined in. Eluk, too, was forced to turn his pony back to them, his face dark with irritation.
"You will not ride with us, Eluk."
"Go back," Temujin said.
He saw the warrior stiffen and shook his head deliberately.
"Today, we ride only with eagles,"
Temujin said, his face revealing nothing of his inner amusement. His brothers grinned around him, enjoying the secret and the frown that troubled Eluk's hard features.
"Your father will beat humility into your thick skins," he snorted, his face mottling with anger.
Temujin looked calmly at the older man. "No, he will not. One of us will be Khan one day, Eluk. Think of that, and go back as I told you. We will come in alone."
"Go,"
Becta said suddenly, his voice deeper than any of his brothers.
Eluk looked as if he had been struck.
His eyes were hidden as he spun his mount. He did not speak again but rode away, leaving them shaking with tension. Temujin sensed Becta's gaze on his neck the whole way to the river and his father's people. They smelled the tang of urine on the wind before they saw the Gairs. The scent had sunk into the soil in a great ring around the families. There was only so far a man was willing to walk in the dark, after all. Still, it was home. Yesterday came out as he heard their ponies whinny a welcome to the others in the herd. He wore his sword and a deal robe of blue and gold that reached down to his knees. His face showed no anger, but they knew he prided himself on the mask that all warriors had to learn. For Yesugei, it was no more than the habit of a lifetime to assess his sons as they rode up. He took note of the way Temujin protected something at his chest, and the barely controlled excitement in all of them. What had his boys brought back? He saw, too, that Eluk hovered nearby. Yesugei knew Eluk well enough to sense his sour mood was directed at the boys rather than himself, and dismissed it. Yesugei watched closely as they dismounted, and saw that Temujin's tunic was moving. His heart began to beat faster in anticipation. Still, he would not make it too easy for them.
"You have a sister, though the birth was harder for your absence. Your mother was almost blood lost with fear for you."
They did lower their gazes at that. He frowned, tempted to thrash each one of them for their selfishness.
"We were at the Red Hill," Katjun murmured. "Temujin saw an eagle there, and we climbed for the nest."
Yesuge's heart soared. There could only be one thing squirming at Temujin's breast, but he hardly dared hope for it. No one in the tribe had caught an eagle for 3 generations, not since the wolves had come down from the far west. The birds were more valuable than 12 fine stallions, not least for the meat they could bring from hunting.
"You have the bird?"
Yesugei said to Temujin, taking a step forward. The boy could not hold back his excitement any longer, and he grinned, standing proudly as he fished inside his tunic.
"Katjun and I found 2, he said.
His father's cold face broke at this, and he showed his teeth, very white against his dark skin and wispy beard. Gently, 2 birds were brought out and placed in their father's hands, squalling as they came into the light. Yesugei could not find words.
He saw that Elok had come closer to see the chicks, and he held them up, his face alight with interest. He turned to his sons.
Go in and see your mother. Make your apologies and welcome your new sister.
Temujay was through the door of the ghair before his father had finished speaking, and they all heard Hoelun's cry of pleasure. Katyun and Kasar followed, but Temujin and Bekta remained where they were.
One is a little smaller than the other, Temujin said, indicating the birds. He was desperate not to be dismissed. There is a touch of red to his feathers, and I have been calling him the Red Bird.
It is a good name, Yesuge confirmed.
Temujin cleared his throat, suddenly nervous. I had hoped to keep the Red Bird, as there are two.
Yesuge looked blankly at his son. They weigh as much as a dog when they are grown. Could you hold a dog on your wrist? No. This is a great gift and I thank you for it. But the Red Bird is not for a boy, even for a son of mine.
Temujin's dreams were trampled, but his father seemed oblivious to his anger as he called Elok.
My first warrior, Yesuge said to the man. The Red Bird is yours.
Elok's eyes widened with awe. He took the bird reverently. The boy's forgotten.
You honor me, he said, bowing. Yesuge laughed aloud. Your service honors me. We will hunt with them together. Tonight we will have music, for two eagles have come to the wolves. He turned to Temujin. You will have to tell old Chagatai all about the climb, so he can write the words for a great song.
Temujin did not reply, unable to watch Elok holding the Red Bird any longer. He and Bekta ducked through the low doorway of the ghair to see their new sister. That evening, the tribe roasted mutton in great bubbling pots. The bard Chagatai sang of finding two eagles on a red hill. The young men and women of the tribe cheered the verses, and Yesuge was pressed into showing the birds again and again. The boys who had climbed the red hill accepted cup after cup of black arrag as they sat around the fires. Kasar went pale and silent after the second drink, and after a third, Katyun fell backwards. Temujin stared into the flames. He did not hear his father approach, and he would not have cared if he had. The arrag had heated his blood. Yesuge sat by his sons.
Do not drink too much, Temujin. You have shown you are ready to be treated as a man. Tomorrow, I will take you to the Olkunut, your mother's people.
He saw Temujin look up and completely missed the significance of the pale golden gaze.
We will find one of their most beautiful daughters to warm your bed when her blood comes. He clapped Temujin on the shoulder.
And I will stay with them while Elok raises the Red Bird,
Temujin replied, his voice flat and cold.
Yesuge frowned.
You will do as you are told by your father.
He struck Temujin hard on the side of his head. Temujin rocked forward, then came erect once again, staring back at his father.
You will live a year with the Olkunut, as Bekta did. It will be hard on you, but there will be many good memories. I need not say that you will take note of their strength, their weapons, their numbers.
We have no quarrel with the Olkunut, Temujin said.
His father shrugged.
The winter is long.